Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you recognize true wisdom? And how do you recognize true greatness? In this morning's scripture readings, our Lord answers those two questions. And in both cases, he gives an answer that is very different from the kinds of answers the world typically gives. If you were asked to picture in your mind an especially wise person, what kind of person would you picture? What would you say are the signs for recognizing a wise person? Some might picture a person working in a high-tech lab or solving complex physics equations on a whiteboard. Some might picture a distinguished professor sitting and reading a thick book about something too deep for most of us, with impressive diplomas hanging on the wall behind him. Or coming at it from another angle, some might picture a guru sitting and meditating, maybe on a mountaintop or in a temple, waiting for people to come to him for insight and advice. Well, in this morning's epistle reading, we hear from James about how the Lord says a wise person can be recognized. And the answer is nothing like any of those things I just described. It is nothing like what most people would imagine. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." In other words, how do you recognize a person with wisdom? By their good conduct carried out in meekness. Wisdom is seen in living a life of humble goodness. God sees things differently than the world does. And from God's perspective, wisdom is not about how much you know. It's not about how many facts you've taken in or how impressively you can recall or process that information. Rather, wisdom involves having a right understanding of your place in this world and of what that means for how you should now live in this world. And that means that you cannot draw any conclusions about a person's true wisdom on the basis of things like academic achievement or professional success. Rather, real wisdom is seen in how a person lives in relation to God and in relation to his fellow man. When it comes to our relationship with God, a wise person rightly understands that every good thing they have, including any talents or abilities they have, every good thing they have is an undeserved gift from a gracious God. That as we read in the first chapter of James, every good gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And so, wisdom is seen when a person recognizes that God alone is deserving of all glory, and therefore does not live a life focused on seeking glory or recognition for themselves. When it comes to where we stand in relation to other people, a wise person rightly understands that they are just as much a sinner as anyone else is. That, in the words of Romans 3, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so wisdom is seen when a person does not put themselves above other people, but instead shows a selfless love for their neighbors in what they say and especially in what they do. Overall, when it comes to understanding our place in this world, a wise person rightly understands that he or she is a sinner who deserves only God's judgment, but who instead receives from him full forgiveness and everlasting life. All because they have a Savior who loved them, who died for their sins to save them, and rose from the dead to give them everlasting life. And so wisdom is seen when, out of gratitude for all of this, a person then lives not for themselves, but for him who died for them. And when their gratitude for the undeserved love that they have been freely given then moves them to share that kind of love with others around them. So someone like a prominent scientist or scholar might in fact be a truly wise person. But their real wisdom is not seen in any scientific discoveries they make or any awards they might receive. Instead, if they are truly wise, their wisdom will be seen in things like the care they show to their children or to their elderly parents, things like the patience and understanding that they show to their coworkers when they make mistakes, things like the phone calls or visits they make to check in on friends or members of their church family who are lonely or ill. And if they are taking that kind of approach to life, then they would not be any less wise if they happen to be in a less prestigious career. Having first made the point that wisdom shows itself in good conduct, in works done in the meekness or humility that comes from real wisdom, James then expands on that by giving a fuller description of what real wisdom is like. As he says, "The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, sincere." One thing that stands out in that description of wisdom is how little of it has to do with intellect, and how much of it has to do with how we treat the people around us. Wisdom leads a person to focus less on themselves and more on others, looking up to God in faith and reaching out toward their neighbors in those things that James just listed, things like humility, honesty, peace, sincerity, overflowing with mercy. That is what real wisdom looks like. Closely related to the question of where real wisdom can be seen is the question of where real greatness can be seen. And the Lord gives us some guidance on that in today's gospel reading. Jesus and his disciples have been traveling through Galilee, and when they arrived at Capernaum, Jesus asked his disciples what they had been talking about along the way. They didn't answer him because they would have been embarrassed to admit the truth, which is that they had been arguing over which of them was greatest. Well, even though they didn't answer him, Jesus knew what they had been discussing. Just as he always knows what is in our hearts, and he knows every word we speak, even before it's on our tongue. And so Jesus proceeded to patiently teach his disciples about what real greatness is. Jesus sat down, called the 12 to him, and said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." So much for arguing over who's greatest. Jesus then took a child and put him in the midst of the disciples, and taking the child in his arms, Jesus then said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." The disciples were seeking status for themselves, but Jesus was teaching them to care more about serving others. The disciples were seeking prestige, but Jesus was teaching them to instead value people, and especially the the powerless, such as a little child. In that time and place, children had about as low a social status as anyone could possibly have. They were generally considered someone to be kept out of the way, unheard, and mostly unseen, until they reached an age where they could be more helpful by doing some of the work. And so for a man, let alone a teacher, to call a child over to him and then lift him up in his arms was not something you would ordinarily see happening at that time. But Jesus was no ordinary man, and he was teaching his disciples, including us, not to live by ordinary worldly values. The disciples had been arguing over which of them was greatest, but here Jesus comes along and turns their whole concept of greatness upside down. Based on this lesson from Jesus, if you want to see real greatness, where should you look? Look down. Look down and see those who are kneeling down to welcome little children in Jesus' name. Look down and see those who are down on their knees serving others. Greatness is not seen in building yourself up. Greatness is seen in bending down to lift others up. Greatness is not seen in climbing up to the highest social circles. Greatness is seen in bending down to wash another person's feet. Greatness is not seen in receiving the world's praise. Greatness is seen in things like receiving a little child in Jesus' name. So here in today's scripture readings, the Lord is telling us that true wisdom and true greatness have this in common, that the heart of both is a selfless heart, and both are recognized by simple acts of humble, selfless service. And that brings us then to the question, where can this kind of wisdom and this kind of greatness be seen today? Well, as a starting point, we need to acknowledge that they're certainly not seen perfectly in any of us. In fact, there has only ever been one person in whom they have been displayed perfectly. And that person is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who alone lived a life of perfect, selfless service. As we heard in our epistle reading, wisdom is displayed in the good conduct that comes from meekness. And only Christ, who was gentle and humble of heart, has lived a life that was marked by nothing but good conduct. As we heard in our gospel reading, greatness is seen in lowering yourself down to lift others up. And there has never been and will never be a better example of that than Jesus giving himself into suffering and death so that he could lift us up with forgiveness and raise us up to everlasting life. So in Christ and in Christ alone, we see perfect wisdom and perfect greatness. In him and in him alone, we see the perfect image of all that we aspire to. But here we run into a problem. Because that kind of wisdom that we do aspire to, the kind of wisdom we see in Jesus, the kind of wisdom we've been talking about, that kind of wisdom does not come naturally to us. As James says in our epistle reading, what does come to us naturally is instead a very different kind of so-called wisdom, a worldly wisdom that is characterized by things like selfish ambition and jealousy, and which produces things like disorder and quarreling. Rather than focusing us on others' needs, this kind of worldly wisdom says that you have got to focus on looking out for number one. Rather than bringing people together, it pulls them apart. Rather than lifting others up, it often means leaving them behind or even pushing them down. James describes that kind of wisdom, that way of thinking, as being earthly, unspiritual, demonic. In other words, it's the kind of thinking that comes from the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. In saying this, James is alerting us to a serious problem. But he's doing that so that he can then point us to the solution to this problem. And where do we find that solution? By looking again to Jesus Christ and his cross. It is there in the humble self-offering that flowed from the meekness of Jesus' wisdom. It is there that we see the solution to our foolish pride. It is in the perfect greatness of that suffering servant that we find the answer to our sin. Look to the cross of Christ and see Jesus suffering for each time that we have put ourselves above others. Look to the cross of Christ and see Jesus bleeding for each time we have neglected the needs of others. Look to the cross of Christ and see Jesus dying for all of the times and all of the ways our foolish pride has come between us and God and between us and our neighbors. Then look to the cross of Christ and hear him say, "It is finished." And know that all those sins that he suffered and bled and died for have been paid for in full and are erased from the book of your life. So, what are we to do when we find ourselves falling into those self-centered, worldly ways of thinking that do come to all of us naturally? We are to humbly bring it before the Lord, lay it down at the foot of his cross, and hear his healing, liberating words, assuring you that you are forgiven and set free from all of that, in Jesus' name. Turning once more to our epistle reading, James puts it this way: draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will exalt you as he lifts you up in his forgiving grace, and he will also strengthen and renew you in faith, in hope, in love, and also in wisdom. The true wisdom that we heard about earlier, the kind of wisdom that shows itself in humble, selfless service, that true wisdom, which does not come to us naturally, was described by James as being wisdom that comes from above. In other words, true wisdom, the wisdom that we see in Jesus, the wisdom that we aspire to, is a gift from God above. It isn't something we're born with. It isn't something that we achieve. It is a gift, and like every good gift, it comes down to us from our Father in heaven, our gracious God. And he gives us that gift of wisdom in the same way that he gives us the gift of forgiveness. He gives it by the power of his word. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And through the enlightening power of that word, the Holy Spirit works on our hearts, helping us to wisely see things as they really are, to see God as he really is, to see ourselves as we really are, to rightly see our place in this world and what that means for how we should now live in this world. God imparts that wisdom to us by his word, and then he also helps us grow and mature in wisdom by working through our experiences in this life to help those words that he has given us sink more deeply into our hearts and our minds, giving us opportunities to put into practice what he teaches us in his word, seeing the disorder that results when we ignore God's instruction and instead follow our own ways, and seeing the goodness of a life that is lived according to his ways. In this way, God freely gives us wisdom. He helps us grow in wisdom. And from this, he also then brings forth the good fruits of wisdom, good conduct, works done in the meekness that comes from wisdom, the kind of lowly service that Jesus says is so great in the eyes of God. And so, by God's grace, we do get to see glimpses of real wisdom and real greatness in this world as God brings them forth in his people. People who do great things, like welcome little children in Jesus' name. And so, to return to the question we began with, where can you see true wisdom and true greatness? Well, to see perfect wisdom and perfect greatness, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. For he is our all-wise Savior, and on the cross we see the full measure of his perfect greatness. And among us, true wisdom and true greatness are most clearly seen when we are not claiming any wisdom or greatness for ourselves, but when our lives are an expression of the following words from Psalm 115, words which we also sang just a few moments ago. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. To him be ascribed all honor, glory, wisdom, and strength, now and forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.